Thanks for coming today. It's nice to see you. I'm from Philadelphia. What we're going to do today is talk about the brand that we've built around the Digital Innovation and Marketing Program at Temple University. We are a wholly online, so 100% online, specialized master's program. So if you know anything about Temple, pretty big, we've something like 37,000 students. Our business school is the biggest school in the university. My program has about 40 students per cohort, and we run one cohort a year. So we're just one small program that we started about 3 years ago. And our goal is to cross the boundaries of marketing and technology. So if you were in Nate's chat earlier, he's talking about how there's that skill set that marketers are lacking around digital tools. So that's our goal. So our program runs out of the MIS department and the marketing department. So we're about a 50-50 split down the middle. And so with it being a 100% online program, we make a brand promise, we have a couple of goals. So let me talk about the challenges and then I'll talk about how we try to meet that. So really quickly, just about our program, I'm gonna talk more in depth as I go through it, but it's a 16-month program, so it's part-time. So you start in the fall of one semester and you graduate at the end of the following fall. So you go fall, spring, summer, fall, graduate. You take two courses at once. So every semester you take a course in MIS and a course in marketing. And we stack them so that you're only in class one night a week and you're building the bridge between the marketing and the technology. And I'll talk about the rest of the stuff as I go through it because it applies. So my chair and I sat down. We said, let's figure out a framework for engagement. It's a 100% online program, but we know that the trend is moving from students who want to just watch a video, fill out a discussion board, and move along. We realize that people want to engage from the prospect stage all the way through to alumni, so how do we do that? So we looked at a bunch of different options of how prospects can engage with students, how prospects can engage with other prospects, how our students can engage with industry, with alumni. And so we started to break that down, and we came up with a bunch of ideas around creating our brand and then delivering that brand promise. So our job, prepare today's digital marketer. A lot of words on here, but basically all the stuff I just said. We want to give our students the tools to be successful, whether they decide to land on the technical marketing side or the marketing technical side. Whatever side they decide they want to support, we want them to have all the tools. We want to deliver this out of the MIS department and the marketing department. We want it to be 100% online, no residency required. So it's not like an MBA program, the MBA programs at Temple or some of the other programs, where you've got to come to campus for a week. You never have to come to campus unless you want to. And if you want to, great, we'll take you for coffee, we'll take you for lunch, but you never have to be there. So how do we still create a sense of community and how do we use social tools to do that, right? Because we are socially enabled people, especially as marketers. That's my feeling. So our challenge, the first one, break down the online education perception, right? Students feel alone. We looked at a lot of things about attrition and students leaving programs because they didn't feel connected to anything. So how do we hook our students in at the prospect rate so that they can feel connected in an online environment? How do we capitalize on the MIS department? A lot of marketing folks, I don't know about you guys, are scared by the words MIS. Oh, not information systems. I'm not a coder. I'm not a programmer. So how do we convince marketers that MIS is more than just coding, it's more than programming, it's about designing and solutioning and gathering requirements? And then how do we use the Temple brand? Because we're in Philly, we're a pretty big deal, right? We're a big institution, we got a nice basketball team. But once you start to move a little further west, people don't know about Temple University. So how do we, and we're like I said, we have 40 students in each cohort. We're not gonna do a national advertising campaign. So how do we start to engage with people where they live to get them to know more about Temple, to come into to our brand and be with us? So I showed you that framework earlier. So what I want to do for the next bit of time is walk through how we engage at each level with the prospect and then the student, what we do with our alumni, and then I want to tell you a little bit about our industry connections as well, because I think that's really important and a nice key piece of our program. So I popped a little bit of data up here, just a little bit of bragging. We have a 94% retention rate. So our students come, they take the classes, and they stay. And the people that don't stay, that 6% of the people in the cohorts that haven't stayed, have left for reasons like financial reasons or family reasons. But they come, they stay because they think, because they feel part of something. So we'll talk about that data a little bit more towards the end. So we start with the prospect. We engage our prospects in a number of ways. We do it in person if we can. We do some prospecting conferences across the country. We'll meet them there. We do lunches on campus. We do coffee if they're local. If they're not that local, but we can get a group of them together in, say, like New York, we'll go to New York and try to catch them there. And then, of course, we do a lot of online prospecting as well. So let me talk through some of that. We do personal invitations once we've engaged with the folks. We do a lot of personal connection. We realize that that is important when you're asking people to spend this kind of money for a master's degree. We connect with all of our folks on Twitter. We do follow-up emails. We reach out to them and invite them to things. And how we get their information is through our student relationship management system, or our SRM, we call it. And what we've done with the SRM is we have sort of built some social features into it. So it's a WordPress site. It's homegrown. And basically, we ask them to connect with us. And we ask them, join the community. Come be part of our community. We got you this far. And we'll talk a little bit about how we get them here. But we got you this far. Come join our community. Look at all the other people. And I don't know if I can make this little thing, blinky thing, if you can see that. But we tell you, there's 347 people that are looking at this site. There's 17 people that are connected. There's 47 people who are accepted, right? So there's already, I've had plenty of prospects call me and say, it says there's 40 people accepted on your site. Are you full? Can I get in? So that creates that sense of there are other people out there who are looking for this and who are interested like I am. When we get them there, when we ask them to join the community, we just ask for some basic information, like Nate was saying earlier about the gate. We ask for a little bit of information, your name, your email, maybe a question or a comment. And we also have the discussion board here as well. So prospects can post discussions, and we get notified, and we update them, we answer them. So really engaging with them where they've chosen to engage with us. So we collect their information. And then what we do is we've basically built in some incentives for them to connect with us. So once they enter the basics and they say that they're interested, then we say, hey, that's great. Would you like to maybe join a webinar? And then at 50%, when they fill in 50% of their profile, maybe they upload their LinkedIn profile or they upload their resume or transcripts or something, we ask them if they want to join a class. They're online classes. You can join from anywhere. So why don't you join a class and check out the program, see what it's all about. But we don't let them if they haven't joined the community, right? That's the first step. That's our way of collecting their info. And then at 75%, when we almost have you hooked, we allow them access to our advisory council, which is our network of industry leaders and thought leaders. So we're trying to keep bringing them in, keep bringing them in. We also ask them to fill out that information if they ask us for a GMAT waiver, a GRE waiver. We get them into the database because then we can keep that conversation going. And then sometimes what we'll even do is we'll pre-accept them by the information we have before we send everything up to the graduate school to finalize. We'll tell them we've got a seat for them. But we won't do it if they haven't filled out that information. So I just kind of talked about that, the location, we'll go to them. The other things we do is I started to mention that conference. We found that just sending emails, the first year we were doing this, just sending emails to targeted lists and GMAT lists and things was not working for us. We found that just advertising on Grad School Match was not working for us. We had to find a way to find the people where they were. So we found this digital marketing conference in Philly. We stumbled upon it. This is my colleague, Joe. We went down, brought some stuff. We bought some swag, went down there. We got 200-plus prospects. We got 5 students from that first conference. They all said, we had no idea anything like this even existed. Now, you're at a digital market. I was like shaking my head. You're at a digital marketing conference. This is what you do. You couldn't find us. So obviously, we're not doing our marketing right, right? So we go out, go to the conference. We sign up with this company. We do a few more conferences. We meet 200 more prospects at every single conference we go to. We've gotten at least a quarter of our students meeting them in the field. Even though it's an online program, when we're in Atlanta and we're talking to possible students, they make that connection with us, right? So it makes that feel like a community. And because they met us here at the prospect stage, they connect with us on LinkedIn, they connect with us on Twitter. When we get to the student stage, which we'll talk about in a minute, they already feel like they know us, right? So they maybe have met me one time at a conference, but in the student stage, they're comfortable, they're staying, they're hanging around, because they feel that connection to the program already. The other thing we do at the prospecting stage to build our brand, and this, if you guys can do this, if you have a program or if you're looking to like build some leads or something like that, we run these monthly educational webinars. They are free to the prospects, free to the students, and we use it as an engagement tool. We use it as a, it's sometimes a lead generation tool, but it's mostly an engagement tool. We have this advisory council and some friends of our program, and every month we ask them to put on a 35, 40-minute webinar at lunchtime on a Thursday. They gladly do it because we promote it on LinkedIn, right? So it promotes their brand. It gives them something to tweet out. We tweet it, we LinkedIn it, we Instagram it, we put as much weight behind it as we can. But it promotes their personal brand, and it gets their name out there with the Temple community, and it also gives us something to engage with the students. And they do every topic, simple things they like to talk about. You can see, like, innovating in a digital world. And that was just an interview with a really fantastic member of our advisory council. A couple weeks ago, we did one called How Did I Get Here? And it was all about how did I get here in my career in digital marketing, right? Because we all got to digital marketing, but we're not always exactly sure how that journey, how do we end up here, right? We didn't start out being digital marketers. So they cost us $0, right? Maybe we throw $500 against LinkedIn for it, maybe. But we get 30 plus attendees, we get 90 or so people that sign up for the webinars. So it just gives us another way to engage, it gives us another selling point. So these are really a great engagement tool, and they help us build our brand because we are an educational brand. We're trying to deliver education, and this gives us that free shot. So once we have our prospects, obviously we want to convert them to students, and we do that. We do a pretty good job converting them to students. Our students get all of those engagement benefits that I just talked about at the prospect level. Plus, we engage at the Learnathon, the meetup, the community, and the conferences. So let me just talk through those a little bit. So this is our very first cohort. Get back here. Our very first cohort. Even though it's an online program, we had a start of the year party, try to get people together. We engaged with everybody, brought them there. We sent pictures out online, create that sense of engagement. And then we also have these virtual tech meetups. So, you know, tech people like meetups, right? They like to get together and talk about tech stuff. So what we do is we do these virtual tech meetups on Sunday nights as part of our classes. We bring in industry experts, head of digital at Marriott, head of digital, head of user experience at Facebook. They'll come in and they'll talk for an hour with our students, and they get a chance to network and engage and build, and they're tweeting and they're talking about it on social media. They're building their LinkedIn accounts. They're building their brand. They're building their network. So that keeps our students, that's some value add for our students. During our Learnathon, so this is our like course delivery, what we do is we actually have the students and the professors all together in real time on WebEx for 3 hours every Wednesday night. And you think to yourself, 3 hours on a WebEx. But I teach one of the classes and it actually goes really quickly. We do a lot of interaction, a lot of knowledge sharing with the student. So again, our students are connecting with each other, even though someone's in Georgia, someone's in Colorado, a couple people in Pennsylvania, a couple people in New York City. They're all finding the way to connect with each other and with the faculty members. And when they meet each other for the first time, it's like they've known each other forever. We also have, obviously it's an online program, we do have our community platform, our socially enabled WordPress site here. In just 3 years, we're in our third cohort, we've had over 12,000 posts and comments on our site. And these are only, those posts and comments are only from the 143 members, right? So that's 143 students, faculty, staff that are part of our program. So students are using this. You can see we use sort of a news feed. What are other students up to? What are they saying? What are they commenting on? They can friend each other. They can mention each other. They can share information. So a lot of times you'll find in the news feed, people calling out to each other, like, hey, I heard you work in the banking industry. How can I get in touch with you to find out what's happening or get some information on a project I'm working for? So they're sharing information. We use that also as our LMS. So we deliver all of our coursework through there as well. So our students aren't going five different places. This is their discussion board. This is their creation. This is where they're adding information. And the other thing they can do is they can share out. So they create all these posts for their courses. They can share them out on any social media that they want. In fact, we encourage them to do that because it helps build their digital brand as well, which is what we're talking about here. They build their own LinkedIn profile on our site. They add their They add their questions or they add their comments and posts. And then they share that as their resume. A lot of our students use this as their digital resume. So they've gotten rid of the paper and sending that out, and they'll have a link to their LinkedIn on this site. So again, building our brand because now industry folks are seeing it. And then also the students are using it and they're updating it and they're keeping connected with the prospects and the students from the cohort after them. So it's a really nice connection tool for us as well. And then the last thing for the students is the capstone. So we have an integrative capstone where all of the students work in teams. They come up with some kind of interesting solution to an opportunity presented in the market. So they come up with the opportunity. They build a whole social media strategy around it. They actually build a prototype. They build an infographic. So they do all the technical side and the marketing side over about 5 months. And they're paired with an industry mentor. So that industry mentor helps guide them through the different tools and things that they need. The big one, I think, from last year, the best one, was a Tinder-like app for golfers. So you could find golfers if you had a Friday afternoon off. So they come up with some pretty cool things, really innovative. So then after their student, right, prospect, student, alumni, we bring them back together at graduation. We figure that's a nice time to try to bring everyone together. So we bring them back together. They all come if they can. So we had a great time. A lot of people met for the first time. They had worked on team projects. They felt like they had been friends forever. We also do news features on our alumni, things that we can share out about how great our alumni is doing. This article ran in Technically Philly, which is a big tech journal in the Philadelphia area. It was one of their highest rated articles in 2017. It's just about our alum. We asked them if they'd run a story. They said sure. Sometimes we run them ourselves, we post them on LinkedIn, and then, again, grows our network, builds our brand, keeps us connected all around. The other thing, the last thing about the alumni, and which ties into the industry, is now our alumni and our industry folks are working together. They're sitting on panels together, they're asking each other to help with things. Let me see where I'm at on time. They're helping each other solve problems. Some of our advisory council members run their own agencies. Because of the connections they made through the program, now those people are going in and presenting at our students' program or students' companies, and vice versa. So it's really nice connections that they're making all in a digital space. And so I mentioned our advisory council. Let me talk a little bit about the industry folks that we're connected with. These people give freely of their time to engage with us and our students. We meet a couple times a year. They help guide our curriculum. They help shape. They tweet things out for us. They LinkedIn with our students. Some of them teach. So 4 of those advisory council members are faculty members, which is a good draw for our students. They want to see what the practitioners are up to. They run the webinars. They act as capstone mentors. They run the meetups during the semester. So they really do a nice job of connecting with the students. They also work with our prospects, right? So again, going back to that brand promise, feeling that connectivity once the prospects add to the SRM. Yeah, they participate in external events. They meet for coffee. Like, a lot of our digital folks live in New York. We have a bunch of students in New York, so they'll meet for coffee. And so I wanted to kind of wrap up around this cross-platform engagement and just talk about all the different pieces of the puzzle that we're using and how it really interacts at every stage, right? You can see there's a lot of cross-interaction between our prospects, our students. We found that engagement is what really helps our brand and helps us keep those retention numbers up. When students don't feel like they're a part of something, they tend to leave. So we start off inviting them to information sessions. All our information sessions are virtual. Sorry, I got sidetracked by the duck boat. I was on that this summer, that exact one. I'm like, ooh, surprise. So we found that, you know, in our online information sessions, we engage. What kind of questions can we ask? It's not just a rote here, watch a video, and come back later. We answer the phone when they call. We send emails back to them personally when they're interested. Because I think that in all the cases, prospect, student, alumni, industry, they want to get the basics online. They want to go online and get the answer that they need. But when it comes to spending that kind of money for a degree, or when it comes to making the connection with other people, they want to actually speak to someone. And an email is not always enough. They want to see that you're active. You know, I was tweeting a little bit today, not much. I don't have a whole lot of followers. But the only people that follow me are my students, and they were the ones that were commenting on my tweets. So we stay connected as much as we can. Those webinars really help us stay connected at that level. Our platform, that community platform I was telling you about, really keeps everything in one place and helps us build our brand. And a lot of times what I'll do is, if we have a student that's kind of on the fence, I'll take them in through WebEx. I'll take them into the community platform so they can see how engaged they are, because they're worried about being alone or not being together. So I mentioned that 94% retention rate. A couple of other just quick numbers. We surveyed them at the end of graduation. 90% feel they get knowledge from their colleagues, so they're actually sharing information. 90% feel their professional development has been enhanced. 70% feel part of a community, which is higher than most online programs. And so I bring you back to the engagement framework just to kind of tie that back up. We're looking at the student activity and how they connect with the prospect. And then we're looking at the faculty and staff. We let the prospects also have access to the faculty and staff. So they'll oftentimes reach out to a faculty member who is doing something that they're interested in and find out more about it. And they'll find out from that faculty member how they teach, what they teach, access to a syllabus. Sometimes I have found that is the make or break. If I can send them a copy of a syllabus, they're coming. They're, you know, that was the last thing. And if I hadn't sent it, they might have gone somewhere else where they did that. The students all interacting through the Learnathon helps them work well together. I'll tell you a quick story, because I think I have a minute. That first graduating class, there was a group of six girls. One was in Philadelphia. One was in, you know, like sort of Hershey or outside of Philly. Atlanta, Colorado, and somewhere else, I forget. So there was five or six of them. They're all on a team. They worked together for two semesters on their capstone project, having never met in person. The only interaction they had was through the WebEx box, like this. So graduation comes. They all RSVP that they're coming. So great. They bring their families. They get to graduation. They're all there. Their hair, six of them, their hair looks fabulous. They all have this fabulous, like, blowouts. It's like, girls, you look great. They're like, oh, we all met this morning for the first time at the blowout bar. There's a blowout bar in Philly. And they got their hair blown out. And then they went to brunch. And they felt like, even though they had never met more than this for a year and a half, really, they felt like they knew each other. They were like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, it was, we never missed a beat. So it was just, those are the kind of connections that are being made in the program. And then, of course, our alumni. I just this last week, one of our alumni was out speaking with another one of our council members. So that's kind of our framework. That's how we're building our brand. We're not doing it just in social. We are certainly using the heck out of social to enhance. We're tweeting. We're LinkedIn. We're, you know, we have a Facebook page, and we do the best we can. Probably like most of you, we're like a two-man show, right? So you do the best you can with that stuff. And we try to let our personal touch add on to that. So with that, I open it up to questions about anything.
When your students share their posts mm-hmm. from your platform to other platforms, do you brand those posts in any way? Is there a way that readers know that it's coming from this program? Or,
you know, I don't think so. So that's probably a good idea. I don't know how we would do that. I'll have to look into that. But that's a good idea, because I don't think we actually do that. I think some students will say, like, I wrote this in my class, but other than that, no, they just probably copy and paste it or share it out, and that's it.
Okay.
I'll write that one down.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Brian Albert from Ohio State.
Hi, Brian.
How do you, as a smaller program, how do you interact or collaborate with the larger enterprise accounts?
You mean like?
Like either the College of Business or the Temple? University. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we get in a lot of trouble. Because the reality is, you said this being recorded, right? But no one, does anyone here have any friends that are in social at Temple? No. The reality is we do a lot what we want and, you know, smack our hands later, right? Sound familiar? We do the best we can to follow the rules. But the reality is we have the number one online MBA program in the country at Temple, so that's where everybody's focused. They're focused on that. They want us to run, and they want us to make money, and they want us to bring in students and double the size and things like that, but the focus is on the MBA program. They support us, and they give us some guidelines, and sometimes we follow them, and sometimes we don't. But, yeah, we kind of Is that how you guys operate? Can you not say that because you're being recorded? Yeah, it's probably how most of us are. No, I mean, it's really just a matter of, you know, our LMS in the MIS department, the entire school use, the entire Temple University uses Blackboard. Well, until this summer, now we use Canvas, except for the MIS department. We have a homegrown WordPress. We just kind of do it. What else? Anything else I can answer for you guys? It's a fun program. The engagement with the students is amazing. Like I said, 3 hours goes by quickly on a Wednesday night. Sometimes you're sort of dragging, but it works out really well. What else? Yeah?
I asked if you're the faculty director and what kind of support resources and staff you have to maintain, especially the homegrown element to the WordPress site and community.
Sure.
And like that.
Yeah. So I do have, we have one guy who runs the WordPress site. Like he pretty much manages all that. And then I'm full-time faculty, and this is like my add-on job. Like in our department, you are full-time faculty, and then you always have something else you do on top of it. So it's me as the academic director, but we don't have an administrative director. This master's program folks, and I do that because they're up on the seventh floor, but the master's programs folks do some of the policy stuff, but we mostly handle everything in-house. And then I have an associate director who handles a lot of the like the day-to-day marketing stuff that I don't have time to do. And that's it. A couple student workers, a couple hours a week. So, yeah. So we're looking to double the size, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll double the people, too.
What would you recommend for, well, my situation? I'm from University of Denver, and we don't have great access to our faculty. I'm in the student life resources area, but it seems that you have a very strong network of faculty who are willing to make those personal connections. How would you recommend someone in my position really start building those connections and offering that resource?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great resource and a great question. There are some faculty members that are just, and I think you'd probably agree with me, they're just not approachable, they're not attainable. But there are other faculty members, and I think, though we're not always the glorified faculty members, the practice faculty are usually the ones that are really excited about practice and people who are doing it every day and have been there and are willing to do things like webinars and talk about their experiences and talk about networking and things like that. So my advice would be to start with the practice faculty. I don't know if you have tried that before or not, but they just seem to be more attainable because they've been out in the world doing it more so than maybe the research faculty who are really focused on tier one research and things like that. So that might be my suggestion.
Hi, Joel here. I was just wondering from your program perspective, how do you see, what would be a best case scenario for someone that's running a central account to help you out? Because you mentioned before, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Maybe not get into the rub points, but like, what would you see a successful relationship look like?
Yeah, so I think the problem, and I think we talked about it in one of the sessions earlier today, is that it's, you know, Central says do this, and then these people do this, and then those people do that. I think if there was one central resource where I could go and just pull it off the shelf, like, here's a template for this, here's a template for this, and I don't have to reach out and wait for you to come back and there's a, you know, sort of a back and forth. And there's also a lot of administrative stuff that goes on. You know, you got to fill out this form, and if you don't fill it out the right way, then you have to resubmit it, and it needs another chain of approval. Right? We've all been there. So I think if there was some consistency, and I think Temple does a decent job. If you go out to the website, they do a pretty decent job of being consistent. But that, I think, is the easiest way. Let me do my job. Let me just go to the shelf, pull off whatever it is I need, and do it without having to jump through 10 hoops, I think, right? Because there's only two of us. When we get an idea, we got to run with it, or we forget, and we move on to the next thing. Well, thanks for your time, guys. It was good to see you. Thanks for having me.